This begins our study in Mark 4, verses 1 through 20 of the parable of the soils. We'll be looking at this in two studies. This passage before us finds Jesus Christ still ministering in the city of Capernaum. Great crowds of people have gathered to hear him teach the word of God. And in this instance, the crowd is so large that Jesus gets into a boat and uses it as a pulpit to teach the people who have gathered on the seashore. This passage showcases a change in the way Jesus teaches the people. This is the first time Jesus would use parables to teach spiritual truth. The word parable means to cast alongside of, to cast alongside of. Someone has defined a parable as an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. In a parable, truth is cast alongside of life. And life interprets the truth. In other words, a parable takes the common, everyday events of life and uses them to illustrate the deep things of God. The text that we have before us took place in an agrarian society when Christ taught this parable of soil, of seed. Everyone would have understood what he meant by casting alongside of. But let me warn you to use caution when you try to interpret the parables of in the Bible. Some people make the mistake of trying to make every single word twist in the parable mean something spiritual. They try to twist every single word to mean something spiritual. And as a result, many, many false doctrines and foolish teachings have sprung to life. Do not forget that a parable is designed to teach one primary truth. One primary truth. And when that truth is understood, the parable becomes clear. Jesus often used parables. In fact, there are nearly 60 of them in the Gospels. Why did Jesus preach in parables? He answers this question for us in verses 11 and 12. He used parables to reveal truth to those who were open to what God was saying, and to conceal truth from those whose minds have been closed to what God was saying. We look at verses 11 and 12 of Mark 4, and they are very scary verses because they seem to teach one thing and yet they teach another thing. We have before us a quote-unquote paradox in verses 11 and 12. A paradox is a statement or a proposition that despite sound reasoning from acceptable premises leads to a conclusion that seems senseless and therefore logically unacceptable or self-contradictory. Let us look at verses 11 and 12 of Mark 4. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. So that, for this reason, seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Wow. What did we have before us? It wasn't that Jesus was intentionally trying to send people to hell, was it? In that statement? To you it has been given to know, and the opposite of that is to those who it's not been given. They don't know, they don't receive it. Seeing you, that one may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn. To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. You look at it and it seems to say, to one person it's been given, and to the other one it hasn't been forgiven. Is Jesus in the parable trying to send people to hell? Was he merely giving them what they wanted? Was he merely leaving them to themselves? They had heard the truth preached and they had rejected it. Thus Jesus began to preach in a fashion that required people to think about what they were hearing. Those who were sincere and hungry for the truth would have that truth revealed to them. Those who were closed-minded to the truth would have had it concealed from them. Basically, the Lord is saying, he simply gave the people what they desired. He simply gave the people what they desired. Some fell by the wayside. Some fell on the stony ground. Some was scorched. Some fell among seeds. Some fell on good ground. Basically, the Lord is giving the people what they desired. But even though this, even if it falls on good soil, it was the Lord that prepared that heart to receive that. Let us never forget that. It wasn't that you prepared your heart, but he gave you the ability. He regenerated you. He granted you faith and the ability for that soil to be prepared. As I said, many people have struggled over verses in 11 and 12 of that. To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables. I think that we would do well to remember what an old preacher once said. You know, you've heard many times about people say, you know, well, one of the two thieves were saved on the last day of their lives. So there's hope for somebody. That is absolutely true. No doubt about it. That is absolutely true. But let us never forget, yes, one of the thieves was saved that day. And we learned from one of the thieves being saved that no one need to despair. There is always hope for the person until they breathe their last breath. There is always hope for that person. So when you look at that story, when you look at what took place, when that story is related to us, one of the thieves were saved, so that no one would ever despair that there is no salvation for them. But let us never forget, only one of the two was saved. Not the both of them. One of the two was saved. And the other one teaches us that we should not presume upon the grace of God. See? Don't presume upon the grace of God. One thief was saved, yes, so we do not despair. But the other thief was not saved, so that we never presume. Don't presume upon the grace of God. If you're hearing the word of God today, Don't presume upon the grace of God. Don't forget what we're seeing in verses 11 and 12 of Mark 4. To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn. To you it has been given. It has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. You talk about the grace of God. Today, and in our next study, we're going to consider the parable of the soils. This parable was told to multitudes in public and explained to the disciples in private. Explained in public to multitudes. It was told to multitudes in public and explained to the disciples in private. And in explaining this parable, Jesus tells us what each element of the parable means. Everyone who heard this parable could immediately relate to what Jesus was teaching. They had all seen a farmer walk into his field and begin to sow seed into that field. They had all seen the crop spring up and begin to grow. And Jesus uses this common seed seen to teach a deep spiritual truth. He tells us that the sower is one who sows the word of God. Let Christ interpret the parable himself for you. Don't come out with all wacko meanings out of left field. Let Christ decipher the word for you. He tells us that the sower is one who sows the word of God. That is what it means. The sower sows the word of God. You see in verse 14. The sower sows the word. That's what it means. It doesn't mean anything else. He tells us that the sower is the one who sows the word of God. It might be the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. It may be a preacher. It may be a teacher. It may be a missionary. It may be a gospel song. It may be a gospel track. It may be a one-on-one witness between people. It is the Word of God that the sower sows. The seed is the gospel of the grace of God. It is the good news that Jesus Christ came into this world, that he died for sinners, that he rose again from the dead, and he offers full and free salvation to everyone who will simply repent and believe. In this parable, some of the seed produces fruit and some does not. Let us remember that the problem does not lie in the seed. All the seed was good seed. There's no bad seed in the Word of God. It's all good seed. Each kernel has the potential to produce fruit. The problem was not the seed. The problem is the soil. The soil in this parable represents the heart or the mind of the person who hears the gospel of grace. Everyone who hears the gospel hears it in a different way. Some revile it, some reject it, some receive it. It is the soil that is the primary emphasis of this parable. I want to start to begin to examine this parable today. I want to point out the kind of minds or hearts that hear the gospel and how each responds to it. As we move through these verses, I would like for you to seriously examine yourself. When you hear the word of God, when the word of God is spoken, you must examine yourself. How does this apply to me? First and foremost, we are very quick oftentimes to think of others and how it applies to them. Let's always look at our own lives first, our own selves. You will encounter your own mind in these verses that we'll be looking at. Let's consider the minds of the people that are revealed in this parable as we think about this parable of the soils. Let us look first at the closed mind. Look at verses 4 and 15 of Mark 4. Verse 4. And it happened, as he sowed, that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. That's when Christ told the parable, and in verse 15, he tells us the interpretation of that. Verse 15. And these are the ones by the wayside, where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately. Notice, Satan comes immediately. A being comes. Satan is not a fairy tale. He's not made up in the imaginations of people. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their heart. The word is taken away immediately. These are the ones by the wayside. By the wayside. The wayside refers to the narrow footprints that ran beside and through the fields. These were the roads of the day, and the soil on them had become as hard as concrete. As hard as concrete from the feet of the travelers and the animals that had walked upon them. When the seed fell on the footpath, it could not penetrate the soil, and it remained there in the open, only to be devoured by the fowls of the air, by the birds of the air. In Matthew's Gospel, let's turn to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verse 19. We're told that this speaks of the person who hears the Gospel but doesn't understand it. Matthew 13, 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and it does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. It's good oftentimes when you're looking at a parable, if there's parallel parables in the Gospels, to go and look and to help in your interpretation of it. Matthew 13:19 tells us of the person that hears the Gospel but doesn't understand it. They cannot make the connection between the claims of the Gospel and their own life. It's just like it says in our text in Mark 4, as I mentioned to you earlier. To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom, but to those who are outside all things come in parable, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand. They don't understand it. They don't understand the connection between the claims of the Gospel and their own life. They cannot see how the Gospel could possibly hold any value for them or their life. Maybe they're steeped in sin and refuse to believe. Maybe they're calloused and cold towards the things of God and refuse to hear. Maybe they have hardened their hearts for years against the call of the Gospel, and like a path trampled underfoot for centuries, they have become hard-hearted. They have become hard-hearted. Whatever their need, they are hard-hearted, and the seed of the Gospel cannot penetrate the soil of their minds. They hear the Gospel, and they dismiss it as foolishness. Look at what 1 Corinthians teaches us. 1 Corinthians 1, Verse 18 tells us, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. To those who are perishing. When the seed is sown, the devil and his cohorts come immediately to snatch away the gospel. To snatch away the gospel seed. Satan does this by distracting and diverting the mind. He causes them to forget what they heard by focusing their thoughts on, say you're at church, you're hearing a message on the radio, somebody's talking to you. He gets you to start thinking about what you're going to have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, what happened in the ball game, what happened on the fishing trip, what happened at work, what's happening in your family, all kind of distractions. And it causes the person to become even more hardened. You're hearing the word of God. Maybe today you're hearing the word of God for the 100th time, the 1,000th time. You're hearing, repent and believe. Repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The person in our text has a heart that is not prepared for a work of grace leading to salvation. And God is under no obligation to prepare that. To prepare that heart, to prepare that soil, he's under no obligation. But in his grace and his mercy, he does do that to people. The seed was good, but the soil was unprepared to receive it. The seed could not penetrate the soil. The seed could not germinate. There could be no life. There could be no fruit. That's the picture of a lost mind. As I said, let us never forget verses 11 and 12 of Mark 4. And that should either cause you fear and trembling, or cause gratitude to spring up from your heart. Let us never forget verses 11 and 12 of Mark 4. And he said to them, "To you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But to those who are outside, all things come in parables, so that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest they should turn, and their sins be forgiven them." If your sins are forgiven you, only know this, that all of us are hard-hearted. Some are more hard-hearted than others, but all of us are hard-hearted. And to you it has been given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. If you have come to know of Christ, of the gospel, of salvation, it's been given to you. It wasn't that your heart was better than other people's hearts. For all of us were by the wayside in one way or the other. But to some of us, God has given us the ability to know and to understand the mystery of the kingdom of God. And to others, it hasn't been given. So know today that you who are hearing this word of God, if you receive it, know it's been given to you. And to you, that will continue to harden your heart even more. It should cause fear and trembling. Fear and trembling that you have a stony heart, that this seed is fallen by the wayside. Once again, you're hearing the gospel and you refuse to repent and believe. I would beg you today, I would admonish you, I would command you on the authority of Jesus Christ as an ambassador of his to repent of your sin and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, lest they should turn and their sins be forgiven them. Come today to Jesus Christ. Repent and believe, and your sins will be forgiven you. And those of us who have come know that you come to know because it had been given to you. And let us in humble gratitude live our life now to Jesus Christ.